This morning, the message I have chosen to share this morning. I mentioned to somebody ahead of time that I'm doing a reheat. But I trust that it's different than what I shared down at Life in Christ. But I was given an assignment down there on the authority of Scripture. On the authority of Scripture. When I was given the assignment, I said, "What are you looking for?" They said, "Well, authority's under attack today, all around us." So I plan on sharing that message here this morning. Authority is under attack about us. And I believe it's an aspect that it can make inroads into the church. Because when I start discounting this book, does it really say that? Decrees for to keep, article of faith, article 1 of the Word of God. We believe in the plenary and verbal inspiration of the Bible as the Word of God. That it is authentic in its matter, authoritative in its counsels, inerrant in original writings, and the only infallible rule of faith and practice. Do you still believe that? Inerrant in his original writings, authoritative in its counsels. When you look in the Scripture and you see something and it has it in there, it has the authority that we need to live it out in 2018. Authority is that which is to be obeyed. That's authority. That which is to be obeyed. If you don't obey it, there's consequences. The opposite of that, disrespect, disobedience, rebellion. I trust that's not something that we're letting inroads into our lives. I was listening to a message about young people today and how that we have not seen all the implications of what that the future generation is going to hold. With the technology, the broken homes, the disrespect that is shown for authority. And I say amen. What are we doing about our own homes, fathers? Are we using our authority that God has placed in us, for us to do? Are we using it that the following generation is listening to our advice, our encouragement, our instructions to them? Are they gleaning things that is going to help them through life? Today, a lot of people have deep reservations about authority. Maybe it's because someone has abused authority. They did a top-down authority use, working it out. You do what I say or else. We abused it, maybe. When authority is abused, it causes people to have deep reservations when they start being placed into under authority. Maybe that top-down authority was exercised in a lack of love for whoever we asked something, whoever we had authority over. Or maybe we had to make all their decisions for them. They couldn't make any decisions themselves, so they start to have deep reservations about it. Whatever it is, brothers and sisters, you're not going to get far through life if you're going to run from authority. We could turn to many passages in the Scripture where the Bible calls for submission, love, in honor preferring one another. But do I let the Scripture speak to me? Or am I going to do my own way? Well, what gives Scripture its authority? What gives Scripture its authority? And I'd like to just take a little bit and look at what gives Scripture its authority. It's a simple answer. Truth. Truth. Anytime truth is present in life, it carries an authority that's built with it. It can't be run away from. Man may try to squash the truth, but it carries an authority with it. And its purpose is going to be accomplished, I believe. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy 3. Verse 16. The authority of the Scripture. What gives the Bible, the Word of God, its authority? Why do we need to listen to it? Why do we need to take heed to it? Let's read 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's that Scripture that we talked about that is full of truth. It is there. It is given by inspiration of God. Divine men wrote it. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Man didn't just all of a sudden pick up a piece of paper and start writing. It's not a private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The authority of Scripture is because the Word is truth, and it was inspired men that wrote it. That's what makes it profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So the question comes. Maybe we're faced with it. If you go and try to do the evangelizing and Maybe like Paul, you know, you're faced with that, the truth. You try to bring somebody to the truth and they start to rebel against it. Is the Bible really the Word of God? I trust this morning every one of you sitting here don't have a doubt in your mind that that Bible that you read every day is the inspired Word of God. Don't let Satan put that doubt in your mind. That the Bible is just another book. No, it is more than that. If it's just another book, we're wasting our time here this morning. If it's just another book, the Christian religion is false. Jesus was just another man that died. Oh no, he wasn't. It's true, he died. He rose again. And he took our sins and washed so we can be cleansed. The Bible is more than just another fairy tale, another story. It is the truth that we need today. So why do we believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God? Why do we need this truth? Why do we believe it's that? Why do we believe that it is the plenary, or in other words, the absolute and verbal inspiration of the Bible as the Word of God? Why do we believe it? I'd like to think first. I don't know of any other book that has so many authors. So many different authors writing about the same person, Jesus. The Old Testament pointed forward to Jesus. The New Testament points back. It's all around Jesus, but there's many different authors, many different writers. And they all join together in that one central theme. It doesn't contradict itself. It's always right. It is always truth. The Bible is also the inspired Word of God because of we can look at the Old Testament to the prophecy that got fulfilled. There's many. Think of Christ. His birth was foretold in Isaiah 7:14. Micah 5:2 says the place of his birth. Isaiah 53, that one that we often look at communion time. His rejection and death. These were all wrote before it happened. Divinely inspired men of God. Prophets of the Old Testament wrote it out. They had one central thing, and that was Jesus and the Holy Ghost inspiring and filling men to write. Or you can look at creation about us. The Bible is the verbally inspired Word of God. If somebody wants to question you on it, take them to nature. Take them to nature. Where did man evolve from? He was created. He didn't evolve. You can take him to creation. It makes so much more sense in the billions of years. The truth can stare them in the face when they look at it. Or you go to God's commandments. Back there, when the children of Israel were walking out, and He told them in Leviticus 17:11, the life is in the blood. How many years did it take man to figure that out? On their own? They're still studying blood today. God knew it. He created it that way. It's in the Bible. The truth is there. Man has just confirmed it in the studies that he does. Or you can go to Isaiah 40, verse 22, the roundness of the earth. There's a time when man didn't think that. The Bible's true. Or you could go the earth in space. Job talks about it in Job 26, verse 7. Or the rotation of the earth in Luke 17. There's many things in creation. You just look around. Brothers and sisters, it's in the truth. Man's still studying the earth. But the Bible has its scientific facts accurate. Well, this truth, this authority of Scripture, the Scripture holds truth because of its accuracy that we've talked about some. Matthew 24, verse 35 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." God's truth of Scripture is going to endure forever. The Scripture cannot be broken. Turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 10. John 10, verse 35. "If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the Scripture cannot be broken." It's in red in my Bible. Jesus speaking. The Scripture cannot be broken. What is in here, what you read in the Scripture, cannot be broken. It is truth. It's guaranteed by Jesus Christ because He said it here. Or we could turn to Mark 14:49, where it says the Scripture must needs be fulfilled. Scripture is going to be fulfilled. It's guaranteed. Jesus' words are, all things must be fulfilled. So I trust this morning that there's not a doubt in our mind that this word is truth. That this word is truth. That it's inspired. It's the inspired work of God. But in the authority of the Scripture. If you go to 2 Timothy 3 there that we read, "It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness." See, we don't like that reproof word in there. We don't like correction. In our own human tendency, we don't like it. Because it's my way. If we haven't had our lives, our wills laid out on the altar and sacrificed self, we don't like correction. We don't like to be reproved. And we don't necessarily think that we need instruction in righteousness. We pretty much have it figured out. Or do we? See, the world is running from the truth of the Scripture. They don't like that authority in their life. They don't like the thought that they're going to answer someday to God. We're just going to do our own thing. We're going to have our own way. God forbid that we would fall into that. May we lay self on the altar. Let the Scripture be that doctrine and that reproof and that correction in our life. Let the Word work in you. Turn it loose in your life. Study it. The second part of my message. First part I had on the title I put there for it was the truth of God's Word. The second part I'd like to look at is the power of the Scriptures. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. Second Peter 1, verse 3. Let's read verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Power. There's power in the Scriptures. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. There is nothing else we need other than to believe that the Scripture, this authority that comes from studying it, the truth that is in it, has the power to help me live in victory. I was going to read verse 4 as well. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. And then it goes on, besides all this, add to your faith. And it. Have you escaped the corruption that's in the world? His divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We don't need to fall into this. The corruption that's in the world about us. But we can only stay on the straight and narrow if we let the Scripture speak to us. If we let the Scripture be close to us. When we walk away from Scripture and the truth and the power that's there, we're setting ourselves up to fail. Brothers and sisters, we can't do that. There's power in the Scripture. Now think of Jesus. When He was tempted, He used Scripture to face the temptation. There's power there in the Scripture. The third point of the message. And then I want to get a little more practical. But I think as we think of the authority of the Scripture, came across this. A novel might last a generation, A poem might last for half a millennium, but the Bible will last forever because truth is eternal. It's a profound statement. You look about the books about us, the best sellers and everything. They may last for a little bit. Then they are no more. But this Bible, that book, that is more than any others, is eternal. Matthew 24 says, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." The Bible is authoritative. I didn't write the reference down. I was going to take us in this, the final authority of the Scripture, I was going to take us to Revelation and read how we are going to be judged out of the words that are written in that book. Judged out of the words written in the book. What other book does God need? How am I living out the Bible today? When our church has the decrees and many scriptures where the application is brought out, and we promise to be committed to serving that and to staying true to it because it's based on God's Word. I trust we have that confidence in our decrees. No, it's not the final Word. The final Word is here. It's God's Word. But it's man has taken and made application to Scriptures. And that's what I appreciate about all the Scripture that's with it. But when we stand before judgment, and God's Word is there, whether it's a Scripture we read now, or something else He's jotting down, I don't know. But we're going to be judged off of truth. We're going to be judged off of what we know. It behooves us to study into God's Scripture and to dig into it. To live life to the fullest. Live it more than just in a lip profession. Live it out in daily life. The Bible is authoritative. And it will carry the final authority because it is God, has God as its source. And it is His Word and it is truth. James 1, verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So how is today? How is the authority of the Scripture under attack today? I don't know. I made a little list. There is more. I thought I could get my mind to work faster, and I thought the Spirit could speak a little more on this part of it. Maybe you can share with me afterwards on it, if you think of some others. But there's many today about us that are under attack, where the Scripture is under attack, the authority of it. I had to think of the authority of the state. I don't know what all went into that Black Lives Matter signs that I see all over Ithaca. I don't know what all went into that. I understand that there was a shooting that happened that they questioned the motive, or it was in the wrong motive. But I had to think of that as we think of the authority under attack. God says in Romans 13, verse 4, "For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon all them, upon him that doeth evil." Well, we say, well, that's out there. That's out there. But what about? What about when we do something that is contrary to the laws of the land? And I got to hang my head because there's been times I've seen flashing lights behind me. Brothers and sisters, I needed it. I deserved it because I was not obeying the laws of the land. To get arrogant with them, to try to run away, to try to do anything else. Are we going to try to dodge the authority? Or are we going to submit to it? The authority that's under attack in our world today. The police are placed there for our good if we do that which is right. The scripture says that if we do evil, we have the right to be afraid. I had to also think of the authority in the home. What does the Bible say in the scripture? What does it say about authority in the home? Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians 5. Some well-known verses. Ephesians 5. Verse 23. This is God's word placing the authority that you as fathers have in the home, and you as mothers placing your place and the authority you have there as well. Let's read verse 22 and 23. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body." In this, and we could go to different verses. There's other ones that we can put in for this. But we see a husband and wife. Fathers taking their place in the home. Mothers being submissive and also taking their place beside him. Pulling together for the unity of the home. And it being a model of Christ in the church. The authority of the scripture is that fathers, we need to take our spot, fill our place, and fill it humbly and lovingly. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. We can find that in another scripture. May we be filling our place. The authority in the home. When husband and wife are pulling together, there's a command given to children in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Children submitting to authority. Fathers, let's not over abuse our authority that God has placed in us, but let's lovingly fill it. so that the children can fill their part here, obeying their parents in the Lord. We live in a world of broken homes. Families are falling apart. Children don't know who to listen to, so we just do it our own way. Very, very sad. Brothers and sisters, we're called to something more. We're called to step up and lead our homes as God would have us to. Another area, the Bible has authority in our lives today. First Timothy 2. Turn with me there. We know this is the passage where it talks about modesty. First Timothy 2, verse 9. Passage, 1 Timothy 2, verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Adorn themselves in modest apparel. I thought of this, and as I think of the time of the year that we are in right now, the immodesty that's about us, the authority of the Scripture that women are to be modestly dressed. Let us put it to practice in our lives. I'm thankful for what I see. But may we always be conscious of it. Be modest. The world wonders why it has so much immorality. When you feed on it, what else can you expect? When they're not modest, when the women aren't modest, where do you expect the men to go? When they don't have Jesus controlling them, let us be those that have nothing to hide. May we be modest, that the world can look on and realize the value that we have there. Let's go to Luke 16. Another one I believe that's under attack in our world today. The authority that's under attack. Luke 16, verse 17 and 18. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. Divorce and remarriage is rampant in our world today. The Bible is very, very clear on it. You can't explain it away. There's many churches that have overlooked it and strive to explain it away, but the truth of the Scripture still stands. It's sin. It's adultery. God has judgments in the Scripture on those that commit adultery. What about abortion? What about abortion? My Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Turn with me to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 21. Jesus is speaking. On the Sermon on the Mount, verse 21, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. It don't matter whether the love that Jesus is speaking to is to that unborn baby or where it is. Thou shalt not kill. We're called to love. This passage also deals a lot with our brothers and sisters in the church. Let us not. We studied in James in our Wednesday evening about the tongue and its power to destroy. Let's not kill there either. We're faced about with this abortion, though. All about us. Women's rights. Women's rights. Brothers and sisters, are you willing? Are you willing to stand on the authority of the Scripture? If the question would ever be brought to you, and it demanded your life for your answer, we still live in an age where freedom is still prevalent. But to talk about against it. Is under attack. You may have to sit in jail for it. Put in there, along with it. And I didn't put the scripture down. There's scripture to back it up. But what about homosexuality? Marriage that's not a husband and a wife. Brothers and sisters, the truth of Scripture stands. We dare not let down on the authority of the Scripture. It stands today. One last one. Under attack, I believe that maybe it comes a little closer home to us today. Turn with me to John 18. I don't know what's on the future for our nation. But I threw this in here because I feel that we need to be prepared to stand on the authority of the Scripture and the truth, if God would ever bring us to this. And that is on non-resistance. John 18, verse 36, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Jesus is saying, I could have. I had the power to fight. But his kingdom's not of this world. Where's your kingdom? Where's your kingdom? No, we wouldn't maybe go out and kill. But we use our little tongue to get back at somebody. We're not so non-resistant when it comes to that tongue part of it. We tend to have fighting words. We tend to like to confrontation and as long as you see it my way, then it's all right. Non-resistance calls for laying down of self. It's Jesus we are serving. Our kingdom's not of this world. Happen to me what can happen. We're serving Jesus. Are you willing to go to that point? Are you willing to face the firing squad? So you don't have to pick up a weapon and kill people. I shudder sometimes when I think of the news reports. Do we have enough salt? Do we have enough teaching that we're going to be non-resistant when the time comes? So this morning, as we looked at the authority of the Scripture, I trust that you're putting that to practice in your life. You're letting the Word speak to you and have its course. It has the authority. If you're not going to let it affect you today, in eternity it will affect you. Why not let the authority work in your life today? Then you can have heaven to look forward to. May we kneel for prayer.